If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Welcome to the HP Podcast, your weekly show for video game news and updates and whatever else we feel like talking about that week. Brandon, you are here with me this week, but you're in a different situation. You're in your kitchen.
Certainly.
Can you talk to me about the food aromas that are happening at the moment, live on the scene there?
Oh, man, not a lot going on. Dinner's been passed for a couple hours. I had beef burnt ends and macaroni and cheese. It was... Okay. Okay. It was pretty good tonight. Something.
No, I'm starving all of a sudden.
I don't want to take full credit. To be fair, it was like a microwave thing because I do quick things for meals on podcast nights, and sure. I saved it for the night. And even though I didn't have to rush, I was feeling very lazy, and so I continued with the laziness. But hey, gotta love that processed food. Kills you slow, but tastes good.
That's right. And as Brandon mentioned, so I assume people will have figured this out, but we're recording Wednesday instead of Tuesday because we wanted to be able to talk about the PlayStation Showcase. Maybe that was a bad idea. Maybe it was a good idea. We'll see what everybody thinks. But Dave, you're also here with us. How's your butt doing?
It's still there. It's getting a little bit bigger every day.
But, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's the beaver butt, you know. It's
beaver butt.
It's doing good. Butt. It's been sitting outside a lot lately. We've got our house up for sale, and every time we have a showing, we got to run out of the house and shove the cat in a bag and go sit somewhere in a parking lot for an hour or two. So,
right.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. No, poor Tim.
Poor Tim, yeah. Dave, you mentioned the Beaver Boys, and that's been a very popular thing in the Discord this week, and people calling us Beaver Boys and stuff. And I have to be very honest. I don't have a clue where it came from. I don't remember it happening.
Dude, Dave said it.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. I don't remember it.
We were like messing around with like stupid nicknames for me. Yeah. I don't know how it came about, and then I just blurted out Beaver Boy or Beaver Boys or something.
What, this was last week?
That was like 2 weeks ago or something. And the Discord idiots jumped all over it and picked out with the Beaver Boys.
They picked it up, I guess, yeah.
I like it though. It's endearing.
It's fine.
We'll take it. You could be called worse things.
I have been called worse things.
You could be called like a meth addict. That would be worse than Beaver Boys. So I'll take that.
Or
that's
Edwin.
A general rule in life is if you're trying to decide if something is so bad, you just ask yourself, is it worse than meth? And if it isn't, then it's okay.
All right. Yeah, to Brandon's point, you could be called something worse, like that time that Poot contributed something and you called him Edwin.
Yep.
That's a worse thing to be called.
But that wasn't as bad as meth. So.
No, that's true. Yeah, that's absolutely true.
I don't know. I haven't tried meth. The jury's out on that one, boys. I don't know. Poot may disagree.
Yeah. I don't know that Poot's tried meth either, but I see where you're going here. Boys, let's start off talking about... Oh, my God. This is already off the rails. Let's start talking about Spider-Man 2.
Okay, right in.
Just the showcase in general here.
No lube.
Straight in.
No, I was kidding mostly there, but I do want to start off talking about the showcase. I want to get your guys' initial impressions of the showcase from PlayStation that happened just a few hours ago, and the reason we delayed the show for all of our fine patrons out there. Technically, the free feed people will still get it at the same time, but the patrons get it a couple hours late, so... Sorry, patrons. Sorry. You're the ones who pay and you're the ones who get shafted. That's just the way it goes in a relationship like this. But what do we think of the showcase overall? Brandon, we'll start with you. Let me know.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every time there is a showcase, regardless of company anymore, I come away from it feeling disappointed. I don't know. We just had a lot of CGI in general, and there were many games that didn't interest me whatsoever. I was really hoping to see more first party action and less CGI, and I got neither of those. So I don't know. There's always some fun little interesting tidbits in there, and you know, we can get into more specifics, but overall, I mean, it was one of those things where I would have just as easily have skipped through most of it and been just the same. So yeah. you know reading the Twitter headlines was just about as fun for me as watching it. So
but you did watch it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, definitely. So it started at 4 and I was at work, so I was refreshing Shinobi constantly every single time an announcement came up. And then as soon as I got home, I finished it off. But yeah, it was okay.
Dave, what about you? Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good, dude. That was it.
Dave, your thoughts overall, your general impressions?
I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't really know what to expect, but I've been disappointed by enough showcases / directs / state of plays that I generally come in with pretty low expectations. I assumed we were going to see some Final Fantasy, and I didn't really know what else we were going to see, but I was happy. I didn't expect to see Assassin's Creed. Yeah. I didn't expect to see Alan Wake. I didn't expect to see Spider-Man gameplay, and yeah, I mean, I was pleasantly surprised, and there was some other smaller stuff kind of sprinkled in there that I'm intrigued by, and then there was some other bigger titles that I'm now gonna kind of keep my eye on. So yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of people who've kind of said that they were disappointed by it, and I can understand why. But me personally, I that was better for me than I thought it was gonna be. So yeah.
Nice. For me, I just assumed, since PlayStation had not really had a showcase for years at this point, like a year and a half, right? Almost two years, maybe somewhere in that neighborhood. They've had state of plays, everything else. I just kind of assumed that meant like we were going to get something that was kind of like, wow, here's everything we've got to show you. I didn't expect so much third party stuff. I didn't expect to see so many things we already knew existed. Like, I kind of thought we were going to see new information or new drops from games that have only been rumored or whatever. And I really thought that maybe we'd get some new announcements, like from PlayStation specifically. And I guess to an extent you can say that, like, we could start getting into the more nitty gritty, like, you know, Haven Studio, who's working with PlayStation as their publisher. Like, they, you know, they revealed their game. Okay, cool. We got a first look at the game called Foam Stars from Square Enix, which is basically just Splatoon, but worse.
Yeah, literally, yeah.
And it's also coming to PS4, by the way. Great. Perfect. We saw a bunch of games that were going to be on multiple systems, which I like it when games are on multiple systems. I just think it kind of sucks that this is a PlayStation showcase that we haven't had in so long, and we got barely anything from them. Honestly, my favorite thing was finding out Ghost Runner 2 is coming.
Yeah, that's actually huge. Did you see the bike, the bike combat almost? It then looks sick. Yeah, absolutely. It's actually out of nowhere. I did not expect to see that whatsoever, to be honest with you. I'm trying to look back through the notes here. There was another one that kind of stood out for me.
There's games like Neva from the people who made Grease. Mm-hmm. That, like, I love that game. I'm sure this is going to be interesting, but it just didn't feel like it should have been at a showcase after we've gone so long. It felt like a state of play to me. That's what, right. I guess what I'm getting at, a longer state of play. And that was kind of bothersome, but I don't know. Let's get into a few of the specifics. I guess we can let's just start off with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Really, really, really long presentation here. And I guess it's like 20 minutes almost, probably.
It's almost too long. I thought it was too long. I'm going to be honest. Like, they could have cut that into a fourth with the gameplay, because it was all gameplay, like 100% of it.
We always complain when it's not gameplay.
And listen, I agree with you, Ben, but I don't need to see 20 minutes of gameplay. Unless it's like, you know, the IGN first look where you get the first 30 minutes of the game. This wasn't it. This was the showcase. This wasn't a, hey, play the beginning of the game. You know what I mean? So at some point I was like, I cannot believe that this is still going. And I just turned it off. I was like, I've been convinced, and I was convinced before this, I don't need to see any more of this. I don't.
Yep.
And I'm not usually a huge stickler for that, but I was like, it's still going. Like, I feel like I'm witnessing the game now right. at this point. You know what I mean?
Dave, what were your thoughts on the Spider-Man information / presentation?
So I did not watch it, and I intentionally didn't. I'm kind of doing this thing a little bit more where, especially games like this, where a lot of the set piece moments are very scripted. I decided not to watch it. So I'm aware that Kraven the Hunter was in it. I know they did some stuff with the symbiote suit, so I have an idea what was there, but like a lot of people, I'm pretty much sold on that game already.
Right.
So I just opted to not really watch it. So sorry, that's not a great answer.
No, that's fine. I've only watched that first little bit we got from it, which I guess this is all we've had. I watched that first little bit we got of it when they announced it. And then I watched the thing today. Maybe that's all we've had. I don't even know. And I only really watched it because I wanted to see a release date.
Still none.
But still didn't get one. That's the thing that's craziest to me, is that we still don't have a release date for this game.
That is kind of wild. Of all things, the fact that they're still premising it as fall doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. It feels, I mean, obviously, it's a large game, just like the other ones.
Basically June, bro. Like, I know, come on.
We're on the heels of fall as it goes, you know, as far as game development. You would think that we would have gotten a date if we were getting a date today.
I wonder if they're waiting to see if Activision does anything with Call of Duty. Not that, like, I think Spider-Man can go toe-to-toe with anything, but there is rumblings that there will actually be a Call of Duty in this year or something. Yeah. So,
right.
And that we usually find out about that stuff in June, so I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they're waiting, they're holding off intentionally just to see what might crop up around then.
But maybe we get another little drop at Keeley's thing, that just a little brief blurb and then the announcement of the date.
Yeah.
I see what happened here too, with why everybody thought, including us at times, thought that the game was going to be co-op, because this isn't really giving away too much. You can swap back and forth between characters in the game. With a push of a button. It looks like it's at certain specific times, but you can do it. So
I'm glad you said that, because when the news broke earlier this week that, like, it would, in fact, they confirmed, like, this is a single player narrative driven adventure, it is not co-op. I was fine with that, but the first thing that came to mind was Grand Theft Auto's, like, character switching. So, like, did they confirm that it's actually going to be something like that, or...
They didn't really confirm it. They just showed a scene where he's like, oh, they're way too far on the other side of town for me to get to them. Miles, you do it. And then you switch to Miles.
Right. Okay. So like Grand Theft Auto, kind of?
Yeah. Kind of like that.
Pretty much.
I think that's a good approach. I like that.
Yeah.
And I think there was some confusion. I saw that the voice actor for Miles had like a bit of a flub where he was doing an interview, and a lot of people thought he was implying that there would be multiplayer. So I think that's why they had to double down. It wasn't his fault. You know, it was just a slip of the tongue, or like he misunderstood the question. So,
I mean, sometimes these voice actors, they don't know. They're not designing the game. They're just doing the lines.
Exactly. So, I thought that was pretty neat, but I definitely didn't stick around for the whole thing. I saw everything, and, you know, it's just as gorgeous as we thought it was going to be. I think it's going to be on par, if not better. I was seeing some cool gadgets and stuff. I won't give it away, but that's when I really started to be like, hey, this game is showing me what all it has to offer, and I really just want this to be kind of a special surprise. So that's kind of when I tuned out. So,
yeah, anybody who's listened to me for more than about 3 minutes knows that I love going into games blind, but I don't know. I think I was just hoping there was going to be one more thing afterwards, even though Jim Ryan came out and told us there wouldn't be.
Dude, how about that? How often do we see Jim on screen?
Very rarely. We saw him on the last showcase, or maybe the showcase before. I don't know, but yeah.
He was on multiple
Came out and said,
multiple sections of the showcase. Yeah.
He's. So. Yeah, I'm not surprised he's not there a whole lot because he's slightly less interesting than a manila envelope taped to a beige wall. He's just not much of a selling point when he's, hello, I'm Jim Ryan. Thank you for watching the Sony show. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I would like your money and I don't care if you have fun.
Yeah. Yep.
Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater remake. Are you guys, yeah. Brandon, I know you haven't played Metal Gear.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely interested. I played a bit of Phantom Pain, hardly any, if we're just going to be completely honest with myself and the listeners here. But it's definitely something I could be interested in.
I installed it.
No, I mean, I started playing it, and honestly, the game was difficult, and I just wasn't having fun because I'm bad at it. And as I've gotten older, I just get worse and worse at stealth games. Like, I want to just blow shit up half the time. And it didn't really work out like that. So I think it's going to be really cool. Obviously huge for all the fans of the Metal Gear series. And there's a trilogy pack coming out as well.
Yeah, that's what I was going to talk about. I've been thinking, I only ever played Metal Gear 1 back when it came out. And I've been thinking about playing, you know, the old ones, but I just had this thought in my mind, like, someday they're going to remake these. They have to, they're huge. And I'm glad I waited. Dave, are you a Metal Gear fan?
Big time.
Huge.
And Snake Eater is probably my least favorite game in the franchise.
Oh,
so
shit.
You can probably see me over here kind of grimacing a little bit because, like, I would like Metal Gear, the original Metal Gear Solid got remade with the Twin Snakes like years ago. Sons of Liberty never really got a remake, and that's my favorite game in the series. Mm-hmm. But I knew that wasn't going to happen. And this has been rumored for so long that, you know, nobody's really surprised. But I'm excited to see where it goes. I'm also cognizant of the fact that this is the first real Metal Gear Solid game post-Kojima. So let's kind of keep that in mind. I get that it's a remake and they don't have to do anything weird. But still, it does feel a bit weird. Somebody in the Discord actually just confirmed that this will have the entire original voice cast coming back to do the game. So I think having David Hayter back in the game is really, really good. And the same guy who did Ocelot will be there and all that stuff. So I don't know. I just had a hard time with Snake Eater because, like, it was a whole storyline, like, in the main series of the games that started with a game on the PSP that not many people played. And, like, if you didn't, or you didn't have, like, an in-depth understanding of what Peace Walker was, then Snake Eater was kind of confusing. And it, I don't know, it just never really landed with me. But in any case, I'm excited to see where they go with this remake. I think it's a pretty far way off, though, because that trilogy they announced, which is all the original games, isn't coming to the fall. And what we saw today was just CG stuff, so I think we're at least a year and a half away from this.
I would think that if they're releasing, I mean, they're releasing Snake Eater with that trilogy, so they wouldn't release that on top of the full remake. I don't think. Right. I think they'll just, you know, to get people excited and give a new way to play.
Absolutely.
I thought that, not that I talk about exactly the trailers very often, but how about that trailer? Totally did not expect that was going to be MGS.
No,
that was
no.
a good fake out of a trailer there for sure.
Yeah, we were kind of talking, there were little murmurs of this, didn't we kind of think maybe something was coming down the pipeline, but they really had you going there for a while with the animals. You had no idea, Dave, whatsoever?
No, I was thinking Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought maybe like a weird trailer for Ark or something.
And that's kind of like a classic Metal Gear Solid thing to do is that fake out. And that kind of harkens back to Kojima, who again is not involved, but I like that they went that route because I'm pretty sure nobody really saw that coming.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was gonna ask you about Alan Wake. I didn't know if that's what you're gonna talk about, but
I was just kind of going down through a few of these here. We can talk about
ahead,
that now
go
though.
Go ahead.
Alan Wake 2 coming October 17th. We've kind of known, I mean, we knew this was coming. They remade it. They've been trickling out teases about it, and then we got some rumors, but
in depth.
Alan Wake 2 coming in October. I'm very excited about that.
Did you watch the full trailer?
I did.
Okay. Dude, got some gameplay in there, got some more intrigue to exactly what might be going on. It was interesting to me. And I think that's part of the reason this whole Showcase was a little less interesting to me because it's a lot of series that I have little experience with, but I am definitely willing to be convinced of these remakes and or iterations in the series. So I'm excited in like a very passive way, but I know you're like a really big Alan Wake fan. I know we've talked about it before, but what did you think about like the whole premise? We're getting like a Swamp People-esque vibe almost from the whole thing.
I mean, it's definitely a bit of a difference from the original Alan Wake. And I'll just be honest with it, too. I loved Alan Wake when I played it, when it came out in, what, 2010, 2011? I don't know, somewhere in that area, Xbox 360 range. But when I played the remake a couple years ago, last year, whatever it was, I was just kind of bored. Really? I was like, why? Why am I not enjoying this like I thought I would? And when I saw Alan Wake 2, I was immediately excited again because I'm like, this looks like the same environment, same storytelling, same character in modern game mechanics rather than remaking a, you know, 10, 15 year old game at this point. So I don't know. Alan Wake's really not even that old. I don't even know when it came out, but it's somewhere between 2006 and 2012, I'm going to say. Somewhere in that area. But it should be fun. I don't know. Dave, Alan Wake, is that your thing?
So this is one of two games that came up in the showcase that, like you, Brandon, I didn't have experience with. But now that I've kind of seen this trailer, I'm kind of keen on going back and playing the original before the second one comes out, because this looks great. Also, shout out to seasonal games. I love when scary games come out in October and other Christmassy games come out in December. When I saw the release date, I was like, okay, this is the perfect game that I want to play in October. So
for sure.
And it looks great. It looks moody. It's got great visuals and it looks like it's going to have some cool jump scares and stuff like that. So this is one I'm looking forward to. Also, credit where credit's due, the person who confirmed the VO for Snake Eaters, Edward Walton from Discord. So thank you.
Okay. Edward. Okay. Perfect. And I feel like they honestly, Remedy's probably learned a lot from Control. I mean, you know, in a lot of ways, Control was a beautiful game. It did have its faults and it didn't really stick around with me personally. But I feel like I was getting a lot of Control vibes from the visuals, obviously, of this game. So that'll be something to look forward to for sure.
Yeah. Assassin's Creed Mirage.
Oh, shit.
It's October release dates. Let's go. It's coming to every platform imaginable, of course. The trailer looked really good. And I saw people in the chat complaining like, oh, it's just, wow, everybody's celebrating because it's Assassin's Creed and they're going back and doing the same thing they did 15 years ago. And I'm like, exactly.
Yeah.
Everybody says we won Assassin's Creed from 15 years ago. And they said, here you go. We're going to make sure in this trailer we show you every single possible thing that could make you think of Assassin's Creed 2.
Right.
Like it's the whole point of the game. And it's the whole point of that trailer was for sure just to let you know this is going back to the roots. And I think that's a really good thing because I'm interested in that. But it's also kind of does. I understand people's points that it kind of sucks that it's not anything new. It's just redoing an old formula. But I don't know. What do you guys, Dave, you're the next biggest Assassin's Creed shill on the show. Actually, you're the biggest Assassin's Creed shill on the show. You gotta give your voice.
Yeah, this game will not win. Unfortunately, people will find something to complain about. It's Ubisoft. Yeah. It just is what it is. But I'm with you, Ben. I was thrilled to see what they showed in this trailer. Lots of gameplay that was in there. It wasn't all CG. And I think we saw what we wanted to, which was this is really going back to basics, which is really, really good. It was funny in the Twitch stream that I was watching. I think the host wasn't really the biggest Assassin's Creed guy. So because this came after Metal Gear Solid, they were like, "Oh, cool, they're remaking Assassin's Creed 2 or Brotherhood." Just because it right, just yeah. like timeline right. and setting and all that stuff, it looks very similar. But when I saw like the free flowing parkour, like that is what I wanted to go back to mostly because that is something that's been lost since Assassin's Creed Unity. So
yeah,
I'm getting what I wanted, but let's just keep in mind that this game started out in life as DLC. It could have been standalone DLC for Valhalla. And they decided to make it a full release. So I don't think this is going to be a massive game, but it is going to give us that sort of taste of, you know, the old Assassin's Creed that we've been yearning for. I think this is what, it's, I'm excited for this. And we got a release date. I think it's October as well. So
yes. Yes. Yeah. The 12th, I think. Yeah. It's October 12th.
So I'm really looking forward to this and, October. It's going to be a busy October already.
I've got multiple weddings in October. My kids' birthdays are both in October. I'm just taking the month off, I think.
It's going to be a busy fall, but you guys are not wrong. I mean, even visually, it obviously harkens a lot back to old days. But I think it's really important what Dave said is the parkour is back. That's exactly like a huge, huge part of the original series. And I feel like they very much showcase that. They're like, you know, not in a bad way, and I'm not trying to troll, but they're like, oh, look, there's parkour. Oh, look, there's parkour. Oh, look, but like,
oh, look, you can stab people in the neck.
That's exactly what they were trying to bring back, though. And I feel like it was important that they showed that. And I think that, Dave, you thinking that it's going to be a smaller game is, I think, actually what will draw some people in. I know it will draw me in specifically. Mm-hmm. I think that a smaller, toned down experience to the large, vast open worlds is going to be something that a lot of people will enjoy, a callback, so to speak. So,
absolutely. Final Fantasy 16. Got a new trailer, and this is the one I didn't watch. I didn't watch this trailer because I'm interested in the game. I'm already sold on it. Did you guys check it out? I know, Brandon, you're not the biggest Final Fantasy fan.
No, I mean, my only experience with Final Fantasy ever is the Final Fantasy VII Remake. And I was just incredibly fucking confused the entire time for this trailer. Like, genuinely, just like, it looked really fucking cool. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know what the fuck was happening, but it looked fucking cool. That being said, immediately I'm not drawn in because I don't tend to be drawn towards things that confuse me. I mean, it looks really cool, and I know people are super excited about it. I mean, probably for a good reason. If I think it looks cool and I know nothing about it, people that know stuff probably are hyped. So, yeah, not much to say there. Just looks really neat, I guess. So,
Dave?
Yeah, it's it looks incredible. Pretty much on par with what we've come to expect from this series. And I've heard from some pretty kind of incredible stuff about this game from some of the pre-release preview articles and stuff that's been put out there. So, if you've been looking for something next gen, I think this is it. Alongside games like God of War and stuff like that. But
God of War is not next gen.
I don't know, man. Like, the way that Final Fantasy has moved away from like turn-based combat and into this action kind of combat is just amazing. Like, it's so cool. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. And yeah, these trailers, like, they're so Final Fantasy, they're so confusing and stuff and Japanese, and there's so much going on, but it's still like really cool and cinematic. And when I watch these trailers, I love kind of like picking out like, okay, that's gameplay. Okay, this is a cinematic. Okay, because it's so hard to tell. Like, they do that so well. But yeah, it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. Like I said, I didn't watch the trailer, but I'm definitely planning on playing it. Or because I'm definitely planning on playing it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There are a couple other things I wanted to talk about. Bungie announcing Marathon, which, for those who don't know, Marathon was like Bungie, one of Bungie's first games that they released on Mac back in the early 90s. I think it was early 92. 90s. I don't think it was late 92. Okay. Yeah, it's supposed to, I think it's a PvP extraction shooter.
I'm interested.
That's what it is.
I'm interested, yeah, personally. So,
yeah,
for me, I love Bungie. I really do. And I've spent so much time playing their games, but I cannot play Destiny anymore. So anything that, right, Bungie's going to put out from this point forward, I will instantly kind of be interested, but I've moved on from Destiny. And so anything that they're bringing next, I want to check it out. And I'm really interested to see what they've learned, because they have learned so much over the many, many years they've been honing their Destiny formula. So
there's an article here from The Verge, Brandon, that says, yeah, we have so many more ways to immerse players in this world, both in and out of the game. We'll be carrying that through in the design of this game. And then he also says, Barrett confirmed dedicated servers for Marathon.
Very nice.
And quote, vigorous anti-cheat measures.
It's going to be a competitive game then.
It's going to be actually competitive, not just let's shoot at each other for fun.
I'd love to hear that, because, you know, committing to dedicated servers out the gate is something that Destiny has never done in all of its life. Right. So that's kind of showing that they really are taking this seriously. So, yeah, very, very interested in this. I mean, obviously, there wasn't much to go off of other than like really cool ideas from the trailer. But the vibes were there in the trailer. I'm not going to get too gung-ho about it, because we obviously didn't see anything substantial. But like I said, Bungie's tried and true. And, you know, for most of their life, they've put out really good content. So I'm definitely interested.
Dave, you made an ugly face whenever I said extraction shooter.
Yeah, not really what I was looking for from Bungie. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, about what we may think could pop up at the showcase. And my long shot was something from Bungie, and sure enough, it happened. So I was pleasantly surprised. But hey, I mean, we've been saying that PlayStation and Sony need something in the shooter space exclusively, and I guess this is a good way to kind of get into it. So
buy a studio that makes it. There you go.
Yeah, and no better studio to do a first-person shooter for you, because it's, you know, Bungie are the experts on tight shooters. So this is, it'll be interesting to see where this goes. But yeah, not something that's really up my alley. And I don't know, Marathon's kind of a deep cut. I would have been curious to see, you know, if they would have gone in a new IP range. And I'm sure they're working on other stuff. But
well, it's barely not a new IP. I mean, I think the original Marathon was text-based, wasn't it?
No, I think it, I want to say like Doom-like screenshots and stuff. I don't know. I'd have to look that up, but
I'm pulling it up here.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I recall seeing screenshots and thinking Doom or like something in that vein.
Okay. It does say first person perspective. All right. Maybe it was. I thought for sure.
No, I'm definitely seeing Vince. Very Doom-esque. I see some pictures of it here. So
I thought there was a heavy text element to it. I didn't mean it was all in text. I just meant that I thought it was there, but I was wrong. So either way, yeah, that would have been interesting. But I guess why not use an old IP when it doesn't really matter, because nobody has played those games. And I don't even think there's any way to possibly play those games at this point, but whatever.
It's apparently, if you go back and play the original Marathon, you'll find a lot of references that have been now pulled into Halo and Destiny.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Brandon, I didn't know if you'd want to talk about Street Fighter. You're not really a Street Fighter guy.
No, not so much. I mean, the new one looks really cool. I'll say that. I feel like they're adding some online components, which I didn't think would be something that would be interesting in these games, but I feel like they're incorporating it in a cool way. So just something to look out for. This may be the one I jump in, but maybe not.
Haven Studios, Jade Raymond's studio that was acquired by Sony recently, they actually started everything off by revealing Fair Game dollar sign. I'm going to say Fair Games. I never really know if they want you to actually say that dollar sign or not. But basically, it is a competitive heist experience coming to PS5 and PC. And basically, you rob rich people.
Okay.
We don't know anything about if it is strictly multiplayer or if there is a campaign single player. We don't know when it's coming out. We don't really know much else at all. But, Dave, your thoughts?
Yeah, I guess I didn't read into it enough to know that it was like a co-op multiplayer kind of focus, because when I watched, and again, the trailer we got was all CG.
Did I say co-op? I meant competitive if I did say
competitive,
co-op.
Sorry, maybe you did. Okay. I got a lot like Watchdog vibes right off the bat.
Definitely.
And I actually thought it looked pretty intriguing, like, because obviously just from a cinematic trailer, they're just trying to give you like what they're going for. But at least we know what Haven's been working on. I mean, because this is a studio that has been talked about for a long time, and I really don't think they have the credo that they've been kind of given credit for. But it's good to see what they're working on. It looks different. It looks interesting. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing some actual gameplay and seeing where they go with this.
Sure. Yeah. Right, no, any thoughts?
Yeah, I'm kind of in agreement. So I thought the trailer looked intriguing, but most trailers look intriguing. So right. Yeah, exactly. So I mean, not a lot to work off of, I guess we'll see. I'm always interested in first person shooters. That's like my toolhouse, so I'll probably give it a go. But not much else aside from that, to be honest with you.
How about Foam Stars? Everybody is looking for the next PlayStation Splatoon from Square Enix. Of course, you got to have a little bit of anime in there. It's got to also be like kind of hyper realistic, but not quite. And it's got to be Splatoon.
Yeah.
With definitely lots of cringy jokes about foam or something squirting. Yeah. I don't know. I don't really care to talk about this. I just don't know why it exists.
Yeah, it's, I guess, the success of Splatoon. I'm not surprised that somebody else is not trying to grab that. But I honestly assume this would be free to play. I guess we'll find out. They didn't say, but it looks strange. I'm going to be honest. It looks very strange. The cinematic had me interested. And then as soon as it went into gameplay, I kind of just tuned it out. The gameplay looked meh. So
sure. Helldivers 2.
Yes.
The Helldivers came out in 2015. This is the follow-up. We knew it was coming because of the NVIDIA leak a couple years ago. So this game is coming to PS5 and PC at launch. Brandon, you perked up there when I mentioned it.
Yes.
What are you thinking?
Yeah, this was one of the games I remember playing Helldivers back in the day. I rather enjoyed this game. I think this game is obviously better played with friends. I think that's like the whole fun of it, with the friendly fire. But yeah, I mean, it looks really cool. It doesn't look like mind-blowingly good or anything, but it was a solid game back in the day, and I'm interested to see how the next iteration is going to kind of build on that. Yeah, definitely some wacky experiences to be had there. I didn't know, Dave, had you ever tried the original Helldivers?
No. I was surprised to see this, but I don't know. The trailer the trailer started with a kid dying. I don't know if you guys caught that, but
yeah.
There was like a giant bug and it killed a kid. Anyways, it was very mid, as the kids would say. But in the stream that I was watching, there was people in the chat who were like, oh, this is like Starship Troopers meets Deep Rock Galactic. And I'm like, okay, I can see that. And I like that as a concept. So I think a lot of times with these games, like if you can find a good group to play with, even if the game is kind of mid, it can still be a real good time. So,
So one of the biggest draws of the first one is that, like, obviously you're all shooting and moving around trying to kill things, but friendly fire is always on. So that's kind of the fun of the entire game, was just constantly accidentally killing your friends. At least that's what happened to me most of the time. So
that sounds infuriating, but okay.
Yeah.
There's only a few more things here to really talk about at all. Phantom Blade Zero hack and slash RPG looks cool. I don't know that it's worth really spending a lot of time on, since I don't know. Did it appeal to either of you guys?
Yeah, me big time. It gave me kind of like Neo vibes, and I've always been kind of intimidated by that game, but there's something about the style of this game that I was like, this is one I'm actually going to be watching pretty closely. I think it's going to be more Neo than Ghost of Tsushima, but maybe a little bit more accessible than Neo. But yeah, I thought this one looked great. I don't know if this has been announced before, but it certainly caught my eye. That's one of the three. I kind of jotted down three games that I wanted to mention, and this was one of them. So yeah, Phantom Blade Zero.
The thing that attracts me to it is how fast it is. Other than that, it kind of feels samey, but the speed of it is what I like.
The combat looked crazy. I don't even know how to describe the combat. Like, it just looked like something that we hadn't seen before quite. I agree with David. Very much does look like a Ninja Theory game. But no, I'm interested for that reason, just because I'm a fan of the other things that they've made. So I guess we'll see more. It also looks very anime. I mean, obviously, very confusing in a lot of ways and very outlandish, but cool for that reason. So yeah, definitely one to keep an eye on. Some of these games for me end up being kind of hard to play and just not as enjoyable for that reason. But we'll see, man. It looked cool. The trailer was interesting. So
we already talked a little bit about Ghost Runner 2, of course. It's supposed to be coming sometime this year, which is absolutely awesome. I absolutely love that game. I think I gave it a 9 back when I still gave game scores and didn't just talk about them for fun. We had Sword of the Sea, which is from the people who made Abzu and The Pathless. And really, I want to mention Sword of the Sea simply to tell everybody that they should have played The Pathless when it came out on PS5. And if you didn't, I'm still angry with you. Resident Evil 4 Remake in VR. I know none of the three of us have PSVR 2. So we don't have a lot to talk about any of the VR news, quite frankly, unless you guys had anything to say. You're both shaking your head at me. Did I miss anything you guys wanted to talk about? Was there anything I didn't bring up other than the hardware announcements?
You mentioned Neva, but I just kind of want to highlight it again from Nomada and Devolver, creator of Gris. This is the game that I will always regret not giving a 10 because I reviewed this game and I thought it was absolutely incredible. Took like 2 or 3 hours, but it was just so memorable. Watching the trailer for Neva kind of made me realize that they're going in kind of the same direction. So, and then the other one was this EA original, Immortals of Aveum. And I think this has been announced previously too, but we got a pretty long gameplay trailer, and this is coming this summer. I think it's in July, and it's like a magical first-person shooter.
Right.
Kind of gave me like Ghostwire Tokyo vibes, obviously. It does look a little bit too like big budget, no soul, which is the kind of thing we would get from EA. But at the same time, like, this is a lot of people coming over from Sledgehammer and they know how to make shooters. And I thought, okay, let's take people that really know what they're doing with first person shooters and add in really cool kind of magical abilities and a massive budget, at least that's what it looks like. I'm sure a lot of people kind of rolled their eyes at this one, and part of me did too, but I'm also interested to see where this lands in the critics' eyes, because it's certainly got a lot of money behind it, and it shows. But
Brandon, your thoughts?
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's funny you said that. It instantly read to me like Ghostwire Tokyo, and I think it will suffer from the same problem for me personally that game did, is just like every moment on screen is cool and interesting, but playing the game is not fun. At least it was not fun for me. I think that's kind of what it's going to come down to, is that will the game satisfy me in a way? But yeah, I mean, certainly it looks amazing. It looked interesting, but that isn't all a game needs to be. And that's kind of where games like this have fallen short for me as well. So,
Brandon, anything else that stuck out to you that we didn't mention yet?
No, man. I mean, we talked about the three things I had. So,
okay, cool. Yeah. Well, we also got a couple hardware announcements from the showcase. The PlayStation handheld that we've already kind of talked about, they're calling it Project Q, or wait, that's what it was called, the Q or the Q Lite. It was being talked about. I still don't think we have a name.
No name.
But we've got the information that it's an 8-inch screen and a controller attachment on either side. I think it's really just all one integrated piece. But they did explicitly state, Jim Ryan explicitly stated that it was for streaming games through your console, through Wi-Fi, not for streaming from the cloud or anything like that. So PS Now, it's growing. They're supposedly getting better tech, but they're still not ready to support it directly that way, I guess. They still got to do it through your console. I guess that's a way to get you to make sure people are buying a console to play the games, but I don't really understand. I don't know. I don't know the value there. But anyway, we also had the gaming earbuds, which we also have almost no information about. But we know that they can connect to your gaming PC or your phone. Or, of course, your PlayStation, I'm sure. Any thoughts about either of those things, boys?
I'm curious about the streaming thing. I'm still sort of a, you know, from a technical standpoint, not really convinced about how well this would perform. So I haven't really dove into it yet. But like, if it's released and it performs in a decent state, I mean, this is something that I might sink my teeth into, just because I've had so much fun playing my Switch and being able to seamlessly kind of switch between console and handheld. So I don't know. This is something I could jump on board. And I really like the earbuds too. I'm in the market for earbuds now. So if these are good, then maybe I'll have a look at them. But yeah, I'm surprised that I'm interested, but I am.
Yeah. Nice.
Brandon. Yeah. We had talked a little bit about the streaming device. It's something that I don't think would be like useful for me personally. But you know, the earbuds, I definitely wasn't expecting that. I have personally purchased Sony's over-the-ear earphones before. And
I think all three of us have.
Yeah, and was like incredibly underwhelmed. So I think for that reason, I probably am turned off the get-go. I'm not much of an earbud person. I have AirPods and they work fine, but I think that's probably the extent of what I would be going that wouldn't be over the ears. So,
yeah, I think that's everything for the showcase. Yeah, for me, I was kind of underwhelmed. Dave seemed pretty satisfied, and Brandon was kind of in the middle there. So I guess that's a good mix. That's a good cross section of the gaming community, I suppose. There are a lot of people raging, screeching. Oh, wow, Xbox. You guys talk about Xbox not having anything. You didn't have anything. And then, you know, people talking about how, oh, wow, Xbox is really shaking in their boots because now they have to go second. Like, it's just there's games and they're either good or not, guys.
Right.
This other crap is stupid.
Ben, gamers are gamers. That's it, man.
I suppose.
We didn't get Fat Princess Remake, though. So
I'm not. We did not. That is kind of a shame, honestly.
Yeah. Big miss on their part.
Jim's a coward for not you know, doing that. Honestly, he showed his face but didn't show a Fat Princess, and for that I'm out.
I really don't have too much other stuff here as far as news. I wanted to mention briefly that Deck 9 Games, who makes Life is Strange, has been hit with layoffs. Hopefully, those people find another job quickly, and hopefully they have not enough people to continue making Life is Strange games anymore over at Deck 9. I'm kidding. I'm not trying to make light of people losing their jobs, but I hate Life is Strange, so I'm going to. Sony says that they're still planning to wait 2 to 3 years before bringing PlayStation games over to PC, but it's really interesting because we saw, I think, 2 or 3 games, Jade Raymond's game and then the Bungie game, which of course is a little bit different of a situation, are both coming to PC as well on launch. So that's a lot of fun. And that's really the only things I had that weren't covered in the showcase, I suppose.
Yeah.
So.
Damn.
Yeah. Cool.
I need to know Brandon's reaction to Mortal Kombat 1.
Dude.
Yes.
I came.
Came with a K?
yes. Yes, correct. At my desk at work. In fact, I don't tell, but I was so excited when I heard this drop that I stopped what I was doing at work and took some personal time to sit there and watch this trailer. Damn, dude. It looks so fucking cool. Obviously, you know, it was a lot of CG. And although I will say, I believe we did see some gameplay in there. Like, they mixed it in pretty seamlessly. And that being said, I will say, obviously, CG, most people have it right now, and it looks amazing no matter what. But when it was switching between, it looked just as good. I'm incredibly impressed with what I presume was some gameplay in there. I mean, obviously, we got some fatalities, but just really, really, really fucking excited. After Mortal Kombat 11 being an absolute smash success, and just being kind of almost the pinnacle of what I thought could be done, imagining a step above that is just fantastic. The lighting was amazing. You know, it seems weird, but something I always praise in these games is like how good the skin looks, because it really, like, I don't know how to describe it, but I hope you boys know what I mean by that in a non-serial killer type way. but the lighting and the skin looks so good, and obviously the fatalities back and hopefully better than ever. I think they're just going to keep ramping up the bar. And we've already got some rumors of some crossover characters already that have really excited me. So I am very, very, very excited for this. Even if it is on par with Mortal Kombat 11, I'm expecting it to be more. I am. Even if it's on par, this game is going to be amazing. So NetherRealms has not disappointed in many years at this point. And I'm just excited to see more. So, Dave?
Yeah, I don't know. Did we get an award at the Game Awards for Trailer of the Year? Because this would have to be up there for me. So I'm not a huge fighting game guy. I grew up with Mortal Kombat, but I haven't really kept up with the series. But like, I'm watching this trailer and I'm like, this is like kind of like subdued for Mortal Kombat when I'm watching like the first minute, and then the second half of the trailer just fucking like punches you in the face and gore everywhere and stuff. And yeah, it was wild. But you're right. I mean, I was watching it, Brandon, and seeing some things and being like, I think this is gameplay. And if it is, like, this looks incredible. So yeah, I mean, good for NetherRealms for coming out with this. The name is a bit weird to me. I was curious what your thoughts were on that. This is Mortal Kombat 11 technically, or 12 or something.
No,
but they've decided to go with 1.
Yeah, so it would technically be 12.
12.
But I think the whole idea of it is that at the end of the game, I won't spoil it if you haven't played it, but one of the characters becomes a god and can like shift and move time. So it's essentially a new universe that's been created. Okay. So I think that's kind of what they're going with, is that the entire universe has been reshaped to be a certain way, and that now there's new threats coming into this new molded universe. And I think it's kind of like a soft, I don't know, usually when they soft relaunch something, it's like years and years later. But I think that's the whole premise, is that it's like, you know, instead of continuing to go into the teens almost were in for Mortal Kombat, they're kind of just like one, you know what I mean? I'm assuming, at least that's the vibes I was getting. So very exciting. Ben, I know you're not necessarily a fighting guy, but
I am, but I'm more of a casual, like, I like fighting games casually.
Sure.
I'm never going to be super good at them. I'm never going to be super into them.
I'm not super good at them.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
I mean, I got the platinum for Mortal Kombat 11, and that took me fucking forever.
That's brutal.
Dude, listen, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done, and I think it was mostly luck, because some of those button combos, I shit you not, like, I spent hours doing just single sets of button combos trying to get them right. It was tedious.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be great, but I probably don't need to buy it for the amount I'll play it. I'll play it when it's $20 eventually and play through the campaign and then be happy. That's, you know, that's kind of how I play the Mortal Kombat games.
The campaign's honestly lit. If it's a, If it's anything like 11, like 11's was a solid fucking story, man.
Right. Dave, what have you been playing?
A little game called Tears of the Kingdom, Legend of Zelda. Yeah, that's pretty much all I've been playing.
Yep.
I don't know if like the playtime on the Switch is accurate, but it says I've played more than 25 hours, and I don't feel like I've put in that much. But apparently I have. I felt like I've kind of been slow playing this a little bit. Can we kind of go slightly spoilery? Like, I'm not talking about story or anything. So, I mean,
if you're not interested in hearing it, leave.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm 3, 2, 1. Okay. You're still here, so you don't care. So I finished the Wind Temple and the Fire Temple. And I think there's 5 in total that I have to kind of get to. I'm kind of surprised that I've been playing this long and I've only kind of got less than 50% of that critical path done.
I've been playing a little longer than that and I've only gotten 1 temple done.
Yeah. And that's the beautiful thing about this game is you can play for hours and hours and hours and not touch the golden path. And
yeah, I'm not trying to. So
yeah, it's been interesting though, because I can remember like after I got past like the 20 hour mark in Breath of the Wild, I found a lot in the game was starting to irritate me, and I'm starting to feel the same way with this. The Wind Temple was fantastic. The Fire Temple was irritating beyond belief. Yeah, I did not enjoy it. Overall, I'm having a great time with it and just, again, having fun just messing around with the physics and all the different stuff that you can build. And I do want to kind of correct something I said last week. Last week I said I was intrigued by the story. I got a little bit further and realized, okay, this is the same shit. I do need to kind of correct that a little bit, because it's actually ticking me off a little bit how this feels like the exact same story we've done like in Ocarina of Time or whatever. So, but it's not a big deal. I mean, you don't play Zelda games for the story. You play them for the puzzles and the exploration and stuff like that. So I'm still having a really good time.
But they know that, because I'm pretty sure in an interview they said recently that they built the game and the new kinds of things and then put the story around them.
That's fair. That's all I've been playing. That's probably all I'll be playing next week. So I'm sorry if this segment is going to get boring, but
Brandon, you're up. Honestly, same here. Non-surprisingly, I also have been only playing Tears of the Kingdom. I'll agree with Dave. I think that I have slowed down a little bit. I still am enjoying the time I have with the game. I just am not playing it for like hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. So I've only done one of the, I thought there was only 4 for some reason, but I've only done one of the 4 main quest temples. I've done the Wind one, which was amazing. I agree with you, Dave. But I've got like 10 hearts and 2 full stamina bars, so I've been doing a lot of other things instead. I am finding some of the stuff to be slightly aggravating at this point. I feel like I should be able to tank some of the things that I just can't. I'm not just trying to fight Lionels or something like that left and right. But when I go into a cave like with 10 hearts, I just want to be able to fuck shit up. And I don't always do that. Maybe it's a problem with me, but I end up just putting little skull markers on the map when I've tried something a couple times, and then I come back to it a couple hours later and I either try it again or I come back later. So that's kind of how that goes. But really enjoying it so far. Just continuing to shrine it up and waiting for Diablo to come out at this point. So yeah, I agree with Dave. This is probably what I'm going to be playing for the foreseeable future. So,
yep, I think I'm right there too. I might play Planet of Lana. I don't know exactly how you say it. Just came out yesterday or today. I don't know, recently. And I might play that too, but it's supposed to be pretty short, so that's okay. But I've been playing Zelda as well. And I just continue to be impressed. I haven't gotten to get as deep into the systems as I would like to have yet. And that's kind of irritating me because I'm playing a decent amount. I don't know what I'm spending all my time doing. I can't quite figure it out. Like sometimes I'm just wandering around.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. And that's okay with me. The only thing that's getting a little bit irritating to me is the combat. It's I'm always underpowered for the enemies that look like they shouldn't hurt me at all. And as soon as I hit somebody, I pick up a weapon off the ground. I hit somebody with it twice and it breaks. I just forgot how much that bothered me. But with that said, it's still amazing.
Yeah,
I still love every part of it.
It's great, even in spite of, you know,
yeah,
some of the less ideal things. So.
I just have been getting like horses like crazy. Like a bunch of horses.
Dude, hella horses. You're stabled up.
I have like 7 horses for some reason. Because I'll lose my horse and then it won't come back when I whistle. So I'll just ride a new horse back to the stable. And I'm like, well, while I'm here, I might as well register this horse.
Get the pony points.
And
then
once I register it, I'll board it and get my other horse that I want.
Absolutely.
So now I just have too many horses. I
haven't been riding horses anywhere. I've just been running, flying, driving, and I keep running into this fucking guy who's building signs, and I help him, and he keeps giving me sleepover tickets, which is really weird.
Yeah, but what is that? I don't know what that is.
I don't know. It makes me uncomfortable every time I help him. He says, "Come sleep over. Here's a little voucher,
dude."
It
allows you to sleep at the stable.
It's a weird thing to get from a complete stranger.
So why do you need to sleep? One, because it restores your health. And two, because every time you sleep in a new stable, it gives you pony points or whatever the fuck they're called to give you rewards. And Ben, help that guy. He gives you 20 rupees every single time, a piece of food, and a sleepover ticket. Just for
I've only seen one of them.
The meals are. I think the meals are the most valuable thing you get from them because they're like good meals too.
Yeah, yeah. Usually they give you resistance or something.
Yeah. I get the sleeping thing for sure, or the restoring your health thing. I guess I get that. The pony points. I just realized I have no idea what they do yet. So don't tell me. I'm going to find out. I think I have a bunch of them.
Rewards. That's it.
Yeah.
Sleeping is weird though, because like you always have flint and wood in your inventory, and it's just you can set up a fire anywhere in the world and wait as well. And I think that restores your health and stamina too.
Does it?
Yeah, you're probably right. But there's another kind of sleep you can do, another kind of bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get like a soft bed, and then I think you get a buff for 5-10 minutes or something like that.
Yeah. I think it gives you an extra heart.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, that's what we've been playing, I suppose.
Yeah.
I think that's it. The show just cuts off right there. We don't say anything else. Cool. All right. Well, we've got some stuff coming up soon that should be somewhat exciting, I think, for some people, and for other people, they won't give a shit, and that's fine too. But we'll let you know about that when we're ready to. In the meantime, you can support us over on Patreon at patreon.com/handsomephantom for as little as $1 a month. You get ad-free early access to the show and our love. And also, if you don't want to do that, or if you do want to do that, you can hang out with us on Discord at Discord. That's not it. handsomephantom.com/discord, and we'll chill there, hang out together. We'll dance around the mulberry bush in Canada.
All right.
Canada with the Beaver Boys.
With the Beaver Boys. All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye. The HP Podcast is made possible by our patrons over at patreon.com/handsomephantom. The following patrons are at the $5 or above level, and we appreciate their support. Wormhat, Toby Ryland, Charles Peterson, Edward Walton, Josh Cummings, Jared, Poot, Boots, Passive Pixels Edwin Castillo, Maurice Bays, Apestrons, Brian, Nuke Dukem, and Derek O.